Welcome back to the special edition podcast series focused on all things Spanish mobility. In the last episode, I talked to Jorge Minoz Riesco, head of smart mobility with Iberdrola, about the impacts of transport electrification on the power grid and how the role of utilities and their partnerships will be crucial as the sector decarbonizes. But as fleets continue to electrify in the country, how have businesses been adapting? How can business models change to align with the shift away from internal combustion engines at a large scale? One company, by the name of Vector, may provide an interesting answer. In this third episode of the series, I speak with Jacobo Dominguez Blanco, CEO of Vector, a Spanish company part of Cabify Group, which specializes in passenger transportation through vehicles with drivers. Vector has an aggressive fleet electrification strategy and has been trading in energy-saving certificates, monetizing energy savings to expand its fleet of zero-emission vehicles nationwide. I'm Yusuf Latif, and this is the Energy Transition Podcast. Enjoy the episode. Based off of the evolving sector in the country, how are new business models emerging, and how is this impacting ownership and operation of fleets in Spain?
Thank you. So the urban mobility in Spain is evolving rapidly. We are mostly moving from an individual vehicle ownership to service-based and share-use models. That is happening, I guess, all across Europe and all across every country, but here in Spain is especially big movement, and especially in big cities as Madrid, Barcelona, or Sevilla, Valencia. So this is a really, really quite big movement. Maybe if we talk about fleet operations, Vector, which is part of Cabify, we operate large professional fleets, which allow us to introduce new technologies and sustainable vehicles at scale. This approach enables faster electrification, higher service quality, and more efficient asset utilization, which sometimes is very difficult to achieve with fragmented ownership models. So we are part of this movement, we are avoiding ownership vehicles. And so we are also part of the movement, even if we are not a platform, but a fleet that works in a platform. And of course, we need to take into account that we need to put also innovation in the way they are moving, and that operation of fleets. As fleet movie should be working every day, a single minute, we have to maximize the usage of the vehicles and maximize the usage of time that the vehicle is doing services. So once we talk about electrification, we need to reduce the time that the vehicle is charging, or look for other alternatives to maximize the fleet availability.
You've talked about maximizing the use, kind of getting everything as electric as possible. In terms of access to the charging network, how does that impact your daily operations? What have been some of the challenges in managing charging logistics for a large fleet to ensure that vehicles are always ready to go?
Yeah, that's a very good question. In Spain, we are far from the target that we have for 2023. So we had plans in Spain to get up to 1,000 chargers, and nowadays we are still in around 30,000. So we are far from that target. That's a big challenge. So the access to the network is a big challenge. Mostly that network is not high speed networks, so we are talking for normal ones. And also we need to understand that fleets work inside cities. And the location of those fast chargers that we already have are interurban. So we could find it in roads, but not in the cities. That's a big challenge. But we need also to take into account that if we want to put a charger right now in the city, the administration takes the time to understand and to do all the papers and the work for that. So in average, it took almost 2 years. It is also a great challenge there, and we need to put some effort from that side too, from the governments. And that's why it's so important, this kind of partnerships that we are doing with Iberdrola in this case, as we need to combine an effort there. So we need to move to make an investment of our own charging infrastructure. We cannot depend just on how are we moving with other partners and with the government. So we need to invest. But we need to choose also very good partners that have the same alignment as us, as Iberdrola. And with them, are we moving very fast? And of course, all the access to the public infrastructure and also collaboration models in hybrid co-investment to expand our coverage. So here, there's a big challenge. Of course, there are country issues that we need to address there. And that, therefore, is so important to find a good partner there.
Hi, Laurie here from the Enlit Europe team. Are you ready to drive the EV revolution? Then join us at the Mobility Zone at Enlit Europe, 18th to 20th of November in Bilbao. This is where transport meets energy, bringing together utilities, regulators, OEMs, charge point operators, and innovators from across the value chain. The Mobility Zone puts you at the heart of the action. Don't miss it. Be part of the conversations shaping the future of mobility at Enlit Europe in Bilbao.
The partnership with Iberdrola, I know it has to do with energy saving certificates, ESCs. How do these work and what are the main goals that you're looking to achieve together?
Yeah, we talk about the impact on electrification in a fleet. Of course, ESCs has an impact there, but there are two kinds of impact. We have first, lower maintenance cost and improve energy efficiency. Just to share some numbers, if we compare it with hybrid models or petrol models, we are reducing almost 70% in maintenance cost and almost 35% in consumption. Those are compared to hybrid models. So we need to imagine that there's a huge saving on the operational variable cost. Then if we talk about insurances or leasing, in this case, there's just the other way around. Electric vehicles, they are for the lower segment, are still high prices. And there are some brands and that are investing a lot in make electric vehicles easy to buy for lower segments. And that's a very good part of also the electrification that we need to put into the country. And then there's also the energy saving certificates with Iberdrola. So those certificates allow us to quantify and monetize the energy savings achieved by replacing the polluting vehicles with 100 electric models. This, of course, is a goal that we have. We need to pay the electrification. And of course, this is a very good measure that allows us to invest more and to develop the electrification in such a big fleet, which is a heavy investment. We are talking about millions, so 30, 40 millions investment. So this is big. And this is a very good lever that is being put in place by the country and by the government.
What does this type of partnership tell us about the future of fleet electrification? You've talked about it a bit there, but more so the role of collaboration between companies that come from different parts of the value chain. We've got Vector, which is the professional customer, Iberdrola, which is the utility. How are these partnerships evolving as fleets electrify?
As I said, electrification is a problem that touches all a value chain that we have already in place. So we need to talk about vehicle operators, we need to talk about energy providers, infrastructure companies, and of course, ours as final customers of all this. So to be able to become electric as a final customer, we need that all other parts of the chain, of this value chain, are aligned and work together and have same objectives. So, and it's a fragmented market. So that's why we need partnerships, because the future of mobility is collaborative, and that's a must. No single player can solve all the electrification challenge alone, and that's why we need to work together. We are working a lot with a lot of OMBs, so vehicle operators, and of course, infrastructure companies, and we have our own investment. We are working with them also, as the three parts need to be quite aligned. Of course, Iberdrola in this case bring technical expertise, infrastructure accesses, or financial incentives that we could work together, that we can create a model in the industry that we could replicate, as we are kind of very ahead of what has been done in the whole industry. So we are also trying to build a model that all parts could work together. This is very differential, and it comes basically from the alignment. So as everything in life, no, we need to choose a good partner, and that comes from a very good alignment, common goals and purpose. So what we have with Iberdrola and with the other partners that we are working in the other part of the other parts of the value chain is long-term goals. So we don't work with what we have to do next quarter, but what we want to achieve in 2028. So this is very important as they are big players and big things take time. And of course, we are working on combining both operational know-how as we have as a fleet. We have 3,000 vehicles moving every day. So we have a lot of data. We can understand very, very good how batteries are performing in terms of charging. We can understand very good how much time and different OMVs or different vehicles perform in long-term distances and how, if there are real data on what we give us at the very beginning, hey, this car could do up to 700 kilometers. Is that true or is not true? That is a things that we have already. And then we are also working with the OMVs to understand better how we could use their vehicles and their batteries and how could deploy better systems to control how the power of the vehicle is being given. Okay. And of course, we need to work in the driver part. Driver has a huge impact on how the vehicle consumes. And in electric vehicles, the driver has a very important role on the consumption of the vehicle. So we are doing a lot of effort there too. And we are also have agreements with different schools to help our drivers. And of course, with Iberdrola, we are working on the infrastructure. So charge faster, how could we develop places where these kind of fleets feel comfortable and could use those 30 minutes for faster charges in cleaning the vehicle, having a pause, having a place that the drivers could also relax and have a pause during the day. And this is kind of the way that we are making the difference with Iberdrola and how they are trying to align, which are the requirements for fleets in such a huge amount of vehicles that we move.
I think it's fascinating because it's a very specific type of collaboration that you're doing, especially when it comes to these saving certificates. How and why does this type of collaboration really make a difference when we look at the energy and mobility sectors in Spain?
Because as I said, they're kind of unique. They are not too much. So of course, there will be kind of a trial. So we will have lights and shadows in how we are working on. But they are differential in the way they're unique, in the way that we are putting two big companies in Spain to work together. And they will have also an impact, not just in fleets, but in the whole society as they were using the electric vehicle. So if we come back to the first question. So we are trying to avoid the usage of the ownership vehicles. And that, of course, we're going to use this infrastructure for us as a company, but we're going to put that infrastructure to other customers. And there's part of how we could help the government and help the country to develop and bring this option real faster, as a matter of scale, I would say.
How do you see this type of model scaling up? Do you, or you focus mainly on what's happening right now?
That's a very good question. Scalability depends normally on how many how big is the bottleneck and how can you solve it. The first bottleneck that we have for electrification is infrastructure. The second bottleneck, so there's just always one, but if we solve that one, we will find another one, would be the cost of cars. And of course, the third bottleneck depends on and we need the first two being solved, depends on how could we make this really useful for the final customer, the ones that go in the car, that we move with them, that we are really avoiding or putting the user of our platform more near to the real needs. So that solving a problem that the customer has, the final customer has. We are first working on the first two. That's very important. Maybe there is another one that has to be with the labor market. We need drivers to do that. And there is a lot of work also being done in terms of how do we develop a real profession for them. Chauffeur must be a good perceived profession. And we are working on that very hard. We have a lot of partnerships there, and the government is part of that. And we are looking for a school certificate that allows them to be recognized in the labor market. And that's very important for us too. There are other companies that are working on, how can I avoid having drivers there? And then you move to autonomous vehicle and remote driving vehicles that are also part of how could I solve this bottleneck there? So I guess we need to be very clear on the bottlenecks that we have there in terms of scale and solving one by one.
I think that kind of answers the next question as well, which was, from your perspective as a professional customer in the segment, what are some of the challenges that we still need to address to accelerate fleet electrification in Spain, whether charging infrastructure, vehicle availability? But I think that's kind of covered. Is there anything else you want to add?
Maybe the one there that I didn't see like a bottleneck, but as an improvement, is the operational integration. Although it's not a bottleneck, we can't afford having 15, 17 different apps just to get to connect to a charger. That's a very important thing, as many, many mayors and governments are trying to solve also the mobility in terms of one single ticket that gets you in the metro, in the train stations, in the bus, or in these kind of platforms, because public and private investment here in mobility is very important, also for electrification. But this operational integration is very important too. So we need to make this easy for the drivers, easy for the customers. And that's a thing that I see also as a challenge, and we need to get that solved.
Thank you. Looking ahead, I want to look a bit towards the future and how things are developing, because things are developing very fast. In the next 5 to 10 years, what really makes you excited about the future of mobility in Spain, whether that's electric transport or otherwise?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit like more as Jacobo and not as the CEO of a big company here. I would say I really love urban design. I really like the city in 15 minutes, all these things coming from Paris and this kind of way to understand how the city works and how cities should be designed. So I expect much more work on that, allowing that mobility could be avoided in terms of the usage of own transport, and much move to self-service options, to all these kind of ready-to-use options in terms of mobility, and there's bikes, that is mopeds, that is motorbikes, that's walking too. So walking is also an option for mobility and saves a lot of pollution to the city. So I hope that governments and make really a look into the urban design. I'm really looking forward for that. And of course, that allows even more the usage of electrification, because all these discussions that we are having right now and fight in terms of the vehicle industry, 700 kilometers, 1,000 kilometers, all this stuff, they are solving problems that we have today. But I hope that we don't have that problems in next years. So it is like, I understand the play. I understand how we are working, and I understand why are we doing those commercials, and I understand how we are developing on that part. I really understand. But I guess, or I hope, that they are not the problems that we're going to have in the next 5 years as we are trying to solve the urban models.
For other companies who are looking to electrify their fleets, what is one piece of advice you would give them based on Vector's experience?
They need to understand this in a kind of a bottleneck understanding in terms of scale, because we are doing that in terms of scale. And of course, they need to understand that the value chain is fragmented and has big partners in each of the parts. It's fragmented, so you have a lot, but there are incumbent partners that want to make an innovation there. So first, understand how this works. Second, look for a good partner in each of those parts of the value chain. We cannot solve it if we are not working together. So partners are very important. And of course, as I said, as the same things that I have with Iberdrola in terms of long-term vision, long-term purpose, that's important. And take this as a midterm goal. So understand that the cars that we are using today are the worst cars that you're going to have. And this is moving quite fast in terms of batteries, in terms of innovation. That's why it's very important to join a partner that helps you all along the journey, that they are thinking on 800 voltage batteries, that they are thinking of supercharger, that they are thinking of other ways to charge batteries on the road, or charging infrastructure that has to be connected, but while moving, all that kind of stuff is important. I look at it a little bit like every technology that is moving quite fast. Most important thing is have a good partner. And of course, understand the rules of the business, but partnership is quite important.
Jacobo, thank you so much for joining us on the Energy Transitions podcast. And to you, the listener, thank you for tuning in. If you haven't already, make sure to check out episode 1 of this series on mobility in Spain, where I discuss with UC Davis researchers how its decarbonization journey is shaping up, in particular, looking at its electrification.
Also check out episode 2, where I talk to the head of smart mobility at Iberdrola on the role of smart charging, V2G, and the evolving form of collaborations in the sector. And finally, make sure to tune in next week for the final episode of this limited edition podcast series.